You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave White, and Jim Moore.
Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll just now stepping up to the podium. Let's send you out to the BMAC.
You're not quite sure, or you see things you might not have seen before. For the most part, I go back again that we know what's going on, but this just gives us a really focused opportunity. So that, it's all about what do we want to do with the next step that we take. So, there's a million things that we're looking at, but that's basically kind of how we go about it.
In terms of assessing players, was there anything in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah. And the last thing I want to do is let you know what I think about all that. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Bob?
Yeah, Pete, last time we talked to you, you talked about the bye week and just how critical it would be to get through it and things like that. That sort of looks like you guys made it through pretty well. But just how do you like it?
Yeah, first off, we tested all week long, and we stayed on the – the regimen of daily testing and all of that worked out, just exactly like we would have hoped. That means that everybody continued to do right and take care of their off the field, family issues, whatever, where they live and how they take care of themselves. Everybody did a great job, coaches and administration as well as the players. All of that worked out great. Now we won't really know the results of this week until we get to the end of this week, as there's a lag time there, but everybody really is tuned in, and that's that discipline that it takes to continue to do that is what's going to carry us through as long as we can stay diligent about it, as we keep talking about. And so and things have changed too. Rules have changed from the league. They're focusing on some things a little differently now, and as they continue to grow and understand, they pass it on to us, and we're learning as we go and have to be flexible and open-minded and really have a good attitude about it to make the most of this.
And we saw DJ Reed is back today.
Yeah.
What specific position or role do you kind of see him?
Well, he's played free safety, corner, and nickel. And so we're going to utilize that background to figure out where it fits best for us. So we took a look at him at a couple spots today. We'll just wait and see, please.
John?
Yeah, speaking of your secondary, between injuries and then the game that Quandre got ejected, you haven't got a long look at kind of your starting group so far. Just whenever that is, that everybody's back, how eager are you to see those guys all together?
Yeah, we really are encouraged by our guys' play and by their backgrounds and stuff. We haven't really had a chance to really mix them with any consistency at all and see how it fits together. That's going to come probably next couple weeks. We'll have a better feel for that. But it's something I'm excited about, John, because all the guys are playmakers and we have a new level of awareness that's fun to see, and so I'm anxious to see it all come together. And it's a long season; we got plenty of chances.
And to follow up on that, whenever Jamal is back, because Ryan kind of showed that he deserves to find a way on the field one way or another. Ryan,
he's played well enough to play with the starters, yeah, and so we're really pleased about that. That only makes us stronger, and is a great statement about how he's taking advantage of the opportunity. So that just makes us better. It gives us flexibility on some certain things.
Greg?
Pete, what are the chances that Jamal Adams plays this week?
I don't know what you may give numbers.
Well, I mean, obviously you held him out of the Minnesota game with the expectation he could come back after the bye. Is he still on track for that?
We got to get through the week, see what happens. Give him these days and figure it out. Take full advantage of the time and make sure that we're doing the right thing and taking care of him and looking after him. It's a long season again, and we'd love to have him back as soon as we can get him, but we want him back when he's right and back for the long haul.
When he's been out the last couple games, Pete, what have you learned about the defense and how you might play when he returns?
Well, he's a very unique player, and he offers unique stuff, and unique play and kind of the savvy that he enters is you know, he's kind of got a style of his own. So that you know, you noticed how we played to him some early. So he gives us all kinds of things that we can do. When he gets back, you know, we've developed another player in Ryan Neal, and that's a really good thing. And we'll see how it fits. But I don't have much to tell you about, you know, what we're going to do differently or how we're going to use it. We'll just wait and see on that one. But we'll be really excited when we get everybody back out there together. I have no idea what question you asked.
Yeah, that's good enough. Thanks.
All right, good. Art?
After your self-scouting, Pete, how far do you think the defense has to go that by week 17 they could be NFL average?
Well, we'll see. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. It depends on how everybody else does. There's a lot of big numbers being thrown around out there. We'll see. We're going to continue to get better now. There's no question. Last couple of weeks have been better, and we need to just keep working to put it together and find the consistency that really can give us something unique to add to what we're doing on the other side of the ball.
Are there specific goals that you have in mind for the units on defense?
Yeah, there are some things that we're pointing at, and that's not changed over the years. We have some things we're trying to get in line with, and we're not quite there yet in some areas.
Okay. Brady?
Hi, Pete. If I understand the rules correctly, I believe that the guys on NFI and PUP are eligible to begin practicing this week. Will that happen with Rashad, Colby, or Daryl Taylor?
Today in practice, DJ Reed was out there and Colby Parkinson was out there. So we're bringing them back. We're bringing these guys back as they're able and ready. So those guys are on the field today. The other guys aren't.
Okay. And do you have an idea of when that might be able to happen with Rashad and Daryl?
We're not able to tell you or to say, you know, right now. I might tell you guys. I wouldn't really tell you right now. But it's not clear yet. So they're still on a good arc here to get them back, and we're going to make sure again that, you know, we've waited this long. We're going to make sure that these guys come back, and there's no question about their return.
Thanks.
Sure.
Michael, Sean.
Staying with some of the injured guys, how are Rasheem and Phillip doing?
Phillip was really excited about how hard he was able to go today. Rasheem is getting really close to. He's just finishing off getting all his strength evened out and balanced up, and he's running and working out hard. He's in good shape right now, so he's not far away either.
One more, Leno.
Leno's got some issues with his back that haven't really turned in the right direction, so we're looking after him right now. He's not ready to come back yet.
Thanks.
Justin? You guys got me on this whole vague thing, you know, all this gray area. Can't tell you. What do you want to do with your offense? What are you doing on second and short? You know, I can't tell you stuff. So it's a bad interview today. Sorry. I'm doing the best I can with the questions you're asking. Jen, can you kind of pull us in the right direction here? Can I call in Jen? She didn't want to ask a question. So now you just have to. Do it like
you
I got to do. Yeah, go.
Okay. Well, then, without Leno, if you know that Leno isn't going to be there, how does that affect how you would continue to prepare and what we've seen in the secondary?
Well, because of really the emergence of D. Randall along with Ryan, those guys have both already been on the field and shown us that they can play. So we're able to withstand it at this point, and I hope that we'll get to see more of Randall as we're going forward. He's a good ball player, and you know he's been around us now enough as he's starting to dig in. So I'm excited about what he can add. So fortunately, we were able to kind of come up with a couple guys that can help us with Leno not being available.
Thanks.
Jessamyn. Well,
we're back on track now.
Well, I hope I don't derail us, Coach. Just considering how different this bye week is, considering the season, guys can't go anywhere. They have to go in for daily testing. Is there any way to benefit your team, and if so, how?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again at the end. Is there any way?
Is there a way it can benefit your team?
Yeah. No. This is really, I talked to the guys today about this. This was probably the most productive bye we've had because everybody was here, and they all – without having a lot of things that they could do on their own time. They spent a lot of time in here working out and taking care of themselves, getting the best treatment possible. So it just seemed more connected than normal. I'm telling you, I don't remember going on the practice field after a bye with the guys all fired up like they were today. We're just out there, it's a regular bonus Monday for us to get back in action, start moving around. And they're all out there standing in line ready for stretching them out about over 5 minutes early. I don't know what the heck they were all fired up about, but they were jacked and ready to go. So they're kind of chomping at the bit to get back at it. And I think it was also the first time that, you know, all the guys kind of got in the same area, same place, and they just were kind of feeding off one another. So it was a really good feeling today. And we didn't execute as well as we needed to at practice, and that's why you have this practice. So the first day back isn't, you know, in the middle of the game week and all that. But it was a very, very good response to coming out of this thing. We are healthier, and they feel better physically, and that was expressed today.
Thanks, Joe.
Pete, might not be able to answer this one either, but worth trying regardless. Just curious if there's concern.
We'll be the judge of that. Joe will be the judge of that, okay?
If there's concern that Daryl Taylor might not be able to make it back this year.
Really, Joe, I've watched him run. I was out there with him a couple times this week. He looks like he's running hard and fast and pushing it. He's really strong right now. It could happen from this point forward, but he's working really hard. And the docs are taking really good care of him and making sure we don't force the issue too soon. But just judging from what I'm seeing, he looks like he's made great progress. He's not like he's waiting to start getting in shape and all that. He's fit and strong. He hasn't done as much change of direction stuff that's really hard on him at this point, but he's really running hard and it looks good. So I don't think that's going to be Joe, that was really wasn't a bad question. As much as everybody was anticipating that, guys just come through.
Curtis?
I'm having more fun than you guys.
Yeah, Pete, with Colby getting back out there for you today, what are you looking forward to seeing from him? We haven't asked you about him forever because he hasn't been able to be out there, but how are you have him out there, and where do you kind of expect him to fit into this?
Well, I took a good look at him watching him on the field today for the first time. He caught early in practice, he caught a flat route for about a gain of two and turned up and ran into the end zone just because he was so fired up to run. All the tight ends went down to go meet him in the end zone to just jump all around him and have some fun with him. So we're all looking forward to him being back out there. He's benefited enormously from the off-season program that he's been in. He looks stronger. He's more fit. He's pumped up. He's over 6'7", so he looks huge out there. So he had a good first day. He had a really good first day. We'll just see what happens. See where it fits into the mix as we go. He's a really smart kid that's been studying like crazy, and I don't think it'll take him long to know his assignments and all that. But technique-wise and technically, he's going to have to show that he's come a long ways before we can figure out if he can help us or not. But a real positive sign for today, and he was really excited. I came off the field with him, and he was just on cloud nine to be back out playing football with his buddy. So pretty good. Good day.
AJ?
Coach, I know you've run through, like, almost the entire defense, but I'm going to throw one more person at you.
No way.
How has Snacks come along? I mean, I know you guys wanted to get him in as soon as possible. It seemed like he was sort of on the cusp there against the Vikings. How has the bye week benefited getting him up to speed with the system, and could we see him this week?
Yeah, I'd like to really hold off on that one, until we get through this week, because this will be the first week he can really go. And got a new number and all that. It looks good. He looks svelte. I'm excited just to get him out there and get him in the mix. We really haven't had a great look. We'll have a good padded practice this week that'll help, and we'll see how he's doing. But I'm excited. He's a great guy, and I hope that he can help us out and be part of it.
I'm sorry. You said he looks what?
Svelte. Svelte.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah. That's with an SV. Scrabble word.
Ben?
None of you have ever used the word svelte in Scrabble, I would venture to guess. Not one time.
Nobody's ever used svelte in Snacks Harrison either.
That's for sure.
Pete, how is Carlos Hyde doing? I saw that he was still in the non-contact red jersey.
How's his injury and where's?
He's much improved. I talked to him today on the way out. He feels good. We're just trying to get through the end of this week and see if he can come out and play football for us. He's really close, and like I've been telling you, he's ready, physically running around and all that. It's just whether it's time to pound on him or not. So we'll see. I can't tell you that till we really get past Friday. And Thursday will be a big day for him.
Thank you.
Masvita?
Yeah, hey,
what would we talk about? What would we talk about if we didn't have injuries? What would we talk about? Come on, Art. No. Look, Masvita, he's got one.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, there you go.
If you allow me to assert that communication is key to success, when you evaluated and looked at it, how would you rate your messaging and your communication with the team? Do you use the 5-0, no COVID-19 test? How would you rate your communication and messaging with the team this bye week?
What I would say is that we're pleased to be where we are. And, we've had to fight our tails off to get here with the games that we've played and all. I'm really glad those games have happened. And we've endured them and learned from them, I hope. We're going to carry those games long into the season about reason to believe and keep the hope alive and all that stuff. So there's a lot of positives to take out of what's already happened. It's been full of really rich experiences in terms of competing and hanging together and playing for one another and all that kind of stuff. And I said to you guys, coming out of the Zoom season, that it seemed like we had come a long ways for not being in the same location. And we had, just grown as a team. Because as soon as we came back, it just felt like these guys had been together a long time and all. So it's an unusual year that I can't really put my finger on why it's like it is. But I know for us, we've made a lot of progress, and we've come a long ways together in this short time. And so the fact that we've done that is really good. But that's already been done. We've already accomplished that. And so it's what are we going to do now that counts? And we'll see how we do moving forward. But I like the foundation, and I really like the level of communication on this team. And I like the way that the younger players hold the experienced players and the leadership in regard where there's a good level of exchange. I think the older guys are being really helpful for the younger guys. And so we're just building and we keep going. And it's a one-game season. We got to get 1-0 this week and away we go to the next week. And it's been really exciting and fun and all that. And hopefully we can keep rolling.
Last question, Art.
Pete, last December, you guys had probably your worst game of the season in Arizona. Carson went out. Procise went out. Dwayne Brown was out. And you guys completed only 3 passes to wideouts that game, which is kind of really amazing compared to what you're doing now. Did anything come out of that game that in the offseason changed your offensive approach, or was it just a one-off due to injuries?
Yeah, turned it all around on that day. That was it. That was the pivotal game. No, you recited some of the stats that I tried to forget. But no, that game didn't really. Isn't one that stands out at all. And because of whatever happened before, it really has no bearing on what's going to happen now. So I don't take much out of it. I am pleased with the way we've been moving the ball around and all that. We got to continue to hammer the football line of scrimmage and to make sure that the balance is there as we're going to need it through the stretch of the schedule coming up. But I don't. I don't look back at stuff in that regard and give it much weight. Sorry. That was a good question other than injuries, though, other than it was all based on injuries. So.
You missed talking to us, right?
Sure. Matter of fact, yeah. Yeah, you guys want to hang out a little longer? I got all day.
Can't carry the load. Fire, guys.
By the way, in case it is 15 days to the election here, so everybody has a chance to get out there and vote. We took a showing of hands today, and we're working it. We're working it here. We're not quite complete. The process is challenging. If you haven't done it yet, Greg, if you need any help, give me a call. Okay, I can help you out with some stuff.
But I
was able to get my vote out and done last night, so I'm feeling pretty cocky about it. To tell you the truth, I made it through the whole process. So, but let's all do it. Send out the word. You guys are messengers of for our future here. If you want to be, Jen, you could write about that. Yeah, you could.
About that, Pete, is it trouble with out-of-state guys and absentee balloting, or is that there has not been an issue in that?
Everybody has already made the preparations to take care of that. I can't tell you that everybody has received everything they need at this point, but I know that well back when we started in the process, everybody went to work on it to figure out what they had to do to get organized to vote in their local areas and stuff. So, but like always, there'll be a little bit of a scramble, but we're on it today. We're trying to make sure our guys are staying ahead of it and all.
Thanks, everyone.
See you.
See you Wednesday.
Dave Pearson, everybody.
Anything else?
Just like, get this thing over with.
Stop talking, Pete.
He probably was cringing when he said, "Hey, I got all day. You guys got any other questions?"
Yeah, I know.
He's like, he's over there going, No. Yeah. There you go. So there's Pete Carroll addressing the media with very little information, even for Pete Carroll.
Well, even he admitted it, though.
Yeah.
He said, sorry, I'm a bad interview today.
Just didn't want to expand on Jamal Adams. I thought he'd for sure be playing, but he sort of just left that up in the air. And, you know, Taylor, yeah, he was running. He's trying hard. He really didn't give you anything precise on really anybody outside of Lano Hill.
Yeah, but there was some information there, injury-wise anyway. And, yeah, he wouldn't commit to Jamal Adams being ready to go this week. And yet, if you follow Adams on Twitter, I think he was ready to go last week. I think we're going to see Jamal Adams out there. That's just me speculating based on everything that we've heard out there. But the other injuries thing, it sounds like Rasheem Green, he's getting close. He's not far away. And you like the idea of adding another defensive lineman, especially a guy that led the team in sacks last year, Bob. Don't forget. Remember that. He had 4 sacks last year.
Boy, are we really holding everybody to this? I mean, that's not a good standard. Led the team in sacks.
It's not a good standard, but you know what it is? Wyman always raves about him. And Dave, you know, and Dave, you know, talks about it. And so I think just adding him, Snacks Harrison, I liked what Pete had to say about him, that he was actually looking svelte. So, you know, there were concerns about maybe a guy named Snacks coming in, being a little overweight, haven't played for a while. And Pete talked about Scrabble.
About a guy named Snacks.
Yeah.
That's what's really just attached you to him.
Yeah.
His nickname.
You want to know how far I go with research when I hear these press conferences?
How far?
I checked out, because he mentioned it's a good Scrabble word. He's right. Svelte.
It's a good one?
Yeah. 9 points.
The V is worth a lot?
Yeah, the V is worth 4.
Okay.
Yeah, ahead. The other ones are only worth 1.
There you go.
Yeah.
Your daily dose of of board game help from Pete Carroll. What did you walk away with, though, from that? I mean, sounds like he's in a great mood. Everybody's, not everything went smoothly at practice, it sounds like. But in terms of specifics, there was very little to cling to.
Yeah, well, encouraging about the defense, though. He thinks it's going to get better, but nothing specific there. Although he did mention we're going to see more of Demaryius Randall. And I've been a little excited about him, especially based on his career, former first rounder out of Arizona State. At Green Bay, he's had several stops. You wonder a little bit about him because he was signed by the Raiders and then released before the season started in September. It was September 4th. But he's got 14 interceptions in 5 years, Bob. And so you bring him in, add him to the mix. And Pete Carroll also said that Ryan Neal has played well enough. I think people would agree on that. Seeing what Ryan Neal has done, he's got 2 interceptions that even when Adams comes back, that he'll be involved in some way.
I'm rooting for him. I think we all are. After we had a chance to interview him, and the listeners loved him. I mean, that was, if you guys get a chance, you didn't hear our interview with Ryan Neal. What was it, about 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yeah, about, maybe 3.
I'm sure it's up there on the
podcast. It was after the Dallas game that he had the interception in the end zone.
He may be the best interview on the team.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is that he's just so grateful and so humble. And when we talked to him, it was pretty much known that he was going back to the practice squad that day, and he was fine with that. You know, I thought maybe he'd go, I thought I did enough to stay on the active roster, but certainly he has, and that's changed since then.
Yeah, he's incredibly easy to root for. Incredibly easy. once we had that opportunity, I think when we usually we're told in advance, you know, by an hour or so, maybe who we're going to be speaking with. So we're like, that day I remember going, He's not Russell. He's not Bobby Wagner. He's not KJ in terms of name value. You're like, all right, well, what are we talking to him about? All right, let's.
Well, you kind of scramble around for questions, and you didn't really need very many with him.
No, he was just awesome. He was just a really up, appreciative guy, just like Sherman used to be.
Yeah.
You know, he used to just love being a football player. You love talking to a guy who loves what he's doing, and they're excited about it.
Well, and right? He's been so good that it makes you, when you hear about Lano Hill, and typically when you hear about a Seahawk that has, and today Carol was talking about that he's not ready to come back, there's still lingering back issues, you'd be going, oh, boy, that hurts the depth. But it seems to me that Ryan Neal has leapfrogged Lano Hill in that secondary.
I would think so, but, you know, they have hung tough with Lano. They really have, because in my opinion,
they like him more than fans do.
Well, and I tend to agree with the
fans.
And
you wonder why.
This. Because I don't feel like he's given the fans any reason to be excited about him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's had some good moments this season when he's been in. You've needed him. But when it was Lano and Tedrick Thompson, you're just going, play whichever one you want. You're getting the same result, mm-hmm. and it's not good. Right? You didn't feel a lot of confidence with either. If you're being honest about what you saw from those two, you didn't feel good about either one of them. They felt like the same player.
Right.
To me, I was like, I really don't care which one you put in there.
No,
I think
you're right about
you're getting
that.
The same level of play.
Good news about Colby Parkinson, the fourth-round pick from Stanford, the tight end, which probably not good news for Luke Wilson whenever Colby Parkinson shows up and is on the active roster. And then also good news about Daryl Taylor, because there were some thoughts that maybe Terrell, the second-rounder, wouldn't be playing this year, and still injury concerns with him and his leg. But Carroll said that he was running hard and pushing it today. So sounds like he will be on the field at some point this year. And Joe Fan from NBC Sports Northwest asking about his status. And so there's some possibility that we'll see that second rounder and that maybe that will help the pass rush down the road.
All right. The Seahawks' next opponent will be in action tonight, the Arizona Cardinals against the Dallas Cowboys. And they're going to see him two times in the next five games, the Seahawks will. In their next five, they'll see the Cardinals twice. How concerned should we be with that team? What are we going to learn about them tonight? We'll talk about that more when we come back with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
All right, so the Seattle Seahawks will be getting a very clear look at their next opponent tonight. Monday Night Football happening. You've got a doubleheader. You've got the Chiefs and Bills going right now. You've got the Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals coming up tonight. So we'll get a look at them. First of all, let me ask you this, Jim. I know this is your upset special.
You're making fun of my upset special, aren't you? Why don't you tell the listeners why you're making fun of it, Bob?
It's a one-point spread?
Yeah, but is Dallas an underdog?
I guess by a point.
Okay, they are an underdog.
I tend
to think it's an upset special if Dallas wins.
I feel like when you say upset special, it's like one where you're like, man, I'm going out on a limb with this one.
I know, you're right.
This is a big one.
You know, it's fair to rip me for that.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
All right,
I like the Cowboys tonight, though. I do. I just think they're being downgraded. Well, they are, certainly.
Well, they've got the worst defense in the NFL in terms of points allowed.
Yeah, but you're going from Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton, so everybody just assumes that their season's shot. But I told the professor last week, I think Andy Dalton, well, you look at Andy Dalton, what he did in Cincinnati. I know he's older now, best backup in the league. I don't think there's a huge – well, there's a drop-off certainly from Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton, but it's not like most teams in the league. I mean, you go from Russell Wilson to Geno Smith, come on.
What do we think of this? So what will this tell us? Let's say they beat the Cowboys. Do we go, you better watch out for the Cardinals? Now, I think the Cardinals are a problem regardless. We talked about it to open the show. Any team in this division is a problem, regardless of their record, what's going on with them. That's just been true every season for the most part, right? The Cardinals could be terrible. They give the Seahawks a hard time. Rams could be terrible. They give the Seahawks a hard time. So I don't think it really matters. But do you think beating the Cowboys, if they were to beat them, we're going to go, okay, now we take them seriously? Because they're a team they've lost to the...
No, but I think didn't you take them seriously before this?
I before the season, I had them as third in the division. I thought it'd be the 49ers and Seahawks battling for first and second. I had the Cardinals third and the Rams in last. I thought they'd be.
And when you have the Cardinals third, were you thinking 9-7 for them this year?
Yeah, I thought potentially the Rams would be 8-8. I thought, you know, somewhere around there, and maybe they'll still prove to be that. But I'm just wondering how much we learn. How much does a win against this team? Because they've beaten Washington, they've beaten the Jets, and they beat the 49ers in week one. So that seems to be a fairly solid win.
Win before the 49ers really got banged
really
up.
Got ravaged by injuries. But then the other two, you're going, all right, the Jets are, you know, they're probably semi-pro league teams that are better than them. But they're dreadful. So I don't put much into that, and Washington's not great either. So I don't put much into that. But do you put much more into a win over the Cowboys if they were to get it? Again, the Cowboys give up more points than any team in football right now. And we're talking about their quarterback. Yeah, that is a, it is a step down, not a massive step down. I agree with you. Dalton is the best backup in the league. But their bigger problems exist on defense.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, Dallas, you look at – but everybody's going to have a hard time with Kyler Murray. I mean, I'm just looking at his stats right now. And he's so fun to watch. He's at 70% as a passer and averaging 319 yards a game passing. And we know about his running ability. Kenyon Drake –
6 picks, though, on the season so far. That's not great.
Has he had that many?
Yeah,
you're right. 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's only been sacked 8 times. But we know about DeAndre Hopkins. He's leading the league in yardage right now, 528. Kenyon Drake not having that great of a year. Had a big game against the Seahawks here in Seattle, 160 yards, I think, last year, but only averaging 3.7 yards a carry. So, yeah, I don't really know what to make of the Cardinals. I enjoy watching them. They're a fun team to watch. Defensively, they're just okay. It should be a high-scoring game in Dallas tonight. The Cardinals only have one interception, and there's a lot of talk about Chandler Jones and how much they're going to miss him, and understandably so, because one of their best pass rushers, not only on the Cardinals, he is the best pass rusher, but one of the best in the league, and yet they've got 14 sacks, and Chandler Jones only had one of those 14 sacks before he had the biceps injury last week. So certainly it's going to be more difficult for him, but they've got other guys that are getting to the quarterback too.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the outcome of tonight, I think they become a problem for the Seahawks. Now, you've talked about the fact that the Seahawks do well when they go to Arizona versus Arizona coming here.
Which is weird, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that and...
Because all I can think of is the 6-6 game.
Everybody remembers the 6-6 game and where they were.
And missed field goals and just like...
The game that wouldn't end. And then when it finally did, it hadn't been settled yet. So 6-6 tie.
Is that funny we remember that in the Browns game?
The 6-3 loss to Cleveland.
Yes, just trash. Just like, ugh. It was just that game that was so bad, you'll never forget it.
Yeah, well, there we interviewed, it was a defensive lineman for the Seahawks. And he got a personal foul in that game. And we asked him, I was working with Calabro at the time, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on his name. But we asked him, I just thought, well, hey, what'd you say to the player? And he used an expletive, and we had to...
Oh, he said it on the air. He repeated it verbatim.
Yeah, we had to take it out. That was the one thing I remember that. Wasn't that the game, too, that Marshawn... Did he play?
No, I don't think he played.
Yeah.
No.
And Charlie Whitehurst was the quarterback that day?
It was just trash.
Yeah.
It was the epitome of hot garbage, that game.
It was.
So that you'll remember, and we'll remember that Cardinals game.
No, we will. And but the Seahawks have had success down there. Other than that... Because 2012 was the last time that they lost down there.
So you like them to go 6-0?
I think they'll go 6-0. Yeah. And I'm not going to change my opinion on Arizona based on what happens tonight. Maybe if Dallas blows them out, you would.
Yeah, that would be the one thing that might... Again, I still think they'd be a tough matchup just because that's just historically been the case. But that might make you change your mind more than them beating Dallas. Like if they were to beat Dallas by 14 points or something, I'm not going to go, oh, man, they're a juggernaut. Look out. Because Dallas is allowing, I think, 36 points a game is the average. Somewhere 35, 36. They're just a dreadful defense. So there's going to be opportunity for the Arizona Cardinals to do some damage. So, but if it were the other way around, yeah, it might make me take a step back and go, okay, maybe we overestimate them a little bit, but I just keep going back to, well, that doesn't mean anything because of how this division has gone.
Isn't this a weekend, though, that made you rethink how you look at teams, though? Because it did for me. Because I went into the weekend thinking, hey, the Rams might be the best NFC team. And I came out of the weekend going, oh, the Rams really aren't that good. Goff really isn't that good. Their defense isn't that good. And then going in, I thought, boy, they were fourth offensively and fifth defensively. They look like a more complete team. And you don't really throw out that game against the 49ers because the 49ers, they'd lost 3 games at home. That would have been their fourth loss last night, but they were really focused last night, and they really had a good show last night. Garoppolo, you talked about, did a good job managing the game, and they rushed really well, and they didn't give Goff an opportunity to come back late in the game by closing it out, running the ball. So... It's, and before that game, I thought, boy, the 49ers are done. So
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to, unless if Arizona gets blown out tonight and then you look at them and you go, they're a 3-3 team. Yeah, maybe like the professor's right. They're still a year away. It's not really, they're going to be a little better this year, but they're not going to go from being 5-10-1 last year to winning the division or anything like that. But if they win tonight, they're 4-2, they're tied with the Rams, and then you go into the game against the Seahawks with a chance for Arizona anyway to get within one game of the NFC West lead.
Where do you put Kingsbury? Morris sent us this article that was labeled, and I'll have to find it again, because basically they're saying, they're calling him a beautiful mind. Like he's this, he's a mad scientist. They've got quotes from his players, like Patrick Peterson, one calling him a wizard, one calling him a mad scientist. Another one said he's a mad genius. And I'm thinking, I don't really get that when I watch the Cardinals. I don't think he's a bad coach by any stretch, but when I'm thinking creativity and thinking outside the box or doing something that's, you know, extraordinary, I'm going to look at McVay and Shanahan above him at this point. I don't view him that way.
Yeah, I think if you're a Texas Tech fan, you're reading that going, huh? Because he was fired. Yeah. He was fired by Texas Tech. Couldn't get the job done there at Texas Tech. And I think he's done a good job at Arizona, though. I kind of get a kick out of him, that shot of him with the fireplace down there. And
I get a kick out of his home. Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, he's doing fairly well.
Looks like a good place to live. I'll give him that. But he doesn't get the mad genius tag from me yet. Not yet. I haven't seen it. We'll see what happens tonight, though.
He looks good on the sideline, though.
Yeah, he looks like he knows what's going on. He looks like a guy who's putting it all together. Coming up, the Jets coaches are now calling each other out in the media, but Adam Gase is still employed for the time being. We'll hear more about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It's not a very, very good number, you know, and a lot of it's not all defensively, but, you know, it's not a very good number. And it's points on the board. We've got to do a good job with that. And how you do that is make them kick more field goals. Got to do a better job in field position type things. And as you see, the scoring's up in the league, but it still makes me sick.
Adam, on the CBS telecast, they were quoting you from the production meeting last night, and they quoted you as saying that, you know, everyone needs to just shut up and play. I mean, that sounds like a fairly stern rebuke of your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but, I mean, we talked about it.
Could it be more just, it is such a dumpster fire in New York. It really is. Not only do they stink on the field, they stink off the field. That's Adam Gase and his defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, who I don't like. Never liked that guy. Watching him on Hard Knocks, talking about, I had 9 teams calling me. And I was like, no, you didn't.
Well, and then the Bounty Gate.
Yeah, he just, I don't like him. I don't like him.
I think Clayton was saying that he's the leading candidate to take over, though, at least on an interim basis if they do fire Gase.
If I'm the owner, I'm just like, get rid of the whole staff. Williams is out, Gase is out, but if they're angling to get Trevor Lawrence, then I guess, you know, you keep him in there. But it seems so screwed up there. Everywhere it could be screwed up. You got the head coach going, yeah, I didn't like it. I did. Those are things where usually the coach will be like, listen, we'll handle, you know, in-house matters in-house, but it's all public.
Who are they going to beat? They don't even come close to winning. Usually in the NFL, when you lose, you come close occasionally. I mean, their best game really was 37-28 against Denver. And no offense, Brett Rypien getting his first start, Shadle Park High School over there in Spokane, you're happy for him. But basically a third stringer coming in and beating the Jets there at home. So it's clearly not working there. Boy, you just outside looking in, you go, how in the world could they continue to have him employed as their head coach?
I think they've got to be angling for the number one pick, right? Why else would you keep him in there?
You wouldn't keep your coach, though, would you?
How messed up is it? They're terrible on the field. They don't do anything well. And you've got this kind of stuff publicly where you've got, you know, Adam Gase talking about, well, he didn't appreciate Le'Veon Bell taking to social media. I didn't really like it. Now his defensive coordinator sort of throws him under the bus. Well, I didn't really like that either. And you couldn't have a more screwed up situation. What's the motivation for keeping it intact?
Yeah, maybe you're right. And then Sam Darnold seeing ghosts last year and then this year being replaced. Joe Flacco's out there. Maybe it's injury related, but I'm looking at the Jets' schedule. I don't know where there's a win on it. They play Buffalo this week. Wait a minute. They play Buffalo this week. Then they're at Kansas City. They've got New England, Chargers, Miami, Las Vegas. Seahawks play them December 13th.
Maybe Miami? Is that the easiest one left?
Yeah, maybe Miami, because they finish with the Rams, Browns, and New England. Maybe the Browns.
I'd say Miami's their best last chance. Or they got to hope for your whole theory of human nature, trap game, all of that has to come together, and maybe it's, New England or somebody just looks at them and goes, whatever.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
They get beat.
Yeah, I think this is definitely, like, if you're the Seahawks or some other good team, when you see the Jets on the schedule, human nature tells you that, you know, you might not have a good game that day.
If you get over under 1.5 wins, what are you taking right now? I'll take the under.
If Gase remains his coach?
Yeah.
Probably under. Yeah. They look like a 1-15 team right now.
Fantastic fight. Very close fight. Was this all you expected?
Brother, DC, first of all, I love you. Second of all, it's not my fight. This is number one. I'm a honest man, you know? And me and this guy work hard. But when the result, it wasn't my fight. The guy did how many takedowns? I'm sorry to say that, brother. But it wasn't my fight. I don't know how judges score it. Thank you so much. Of course, I'm not happy because this is not what I was waiting for. But hey, Gamrot, brother, you're a warrior, brother. Thank you so much, brother. I told you, it was your fight. It was your fight.
That was the winner, and I'm not even going to attempt to say his name.
I assume you watched the fight.
I did, and he was right. I thought he lost. But that was the winner of a fight. He was on the UFC card this weekend. And that was him after he gets the decision saying it's number one BS. Talking about the judging. He thought he lost the fight. You heard him there saying, I'm an honest man. He told the other fighter, hey, you know, it was your night. It was your fight.
Gurum Kutadalats. I'll give it a try. Never heard of the guy, but I'm a fan of his now.
How often in any sport do you hear an athlete or a team, a coach saying, we didn't win that? When it comes to a decision, maybe there are games they're saying, hey, we didn't really deserve to win that game, but we found a way. But when it's a judging situation and you get the nod, I can't think of somebody who said, I didn't win. That was his fight. And saying it publicly like that, that's pretty impressive.
That's really impressive. I've never heard that before. Yeah. So he felt like he lost the fight.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, where was this fight? Was it down in Vegas or something?
It was on Yas Island.
So can you imagine, like, if you bet on the other guy and you hear the winner saying that, you know, I'd probably go and go, can I cash my ticket?
Sports books are going tough.
Yeah, did you hear the guy? He said he lost. He said he lost.
Yeah, but the judges said he won, and that's all we care about here at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook.
So that's the thing, though. How's the judging in UFC? Because boxing, it's always been controversial over the years.
Yeah, it's much like boxing. You'll get fights where you're going, what the heck were you looking at?
Mm-hmm.
How could you possibly? What
was that? One of these?
No, it was a close fight.
The split
I thought
decision.
There were a lot of takedowns. The other guy took him down quite a lot. I thought the other guy won, but it wasn't like the biggest travesty in you know, MMA history by any stretch, but.
Did the other guy look outraged when they raised the arm of the winner?
Sort of like, you know, looking around like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, listen, these are two guys in the world of UFC and MMA that are fairly unknown. They're not household names. So I don't know how many people are actually tuned into this specific fight. The reaction was just, I was watching going, whoa, did he just say that?
Pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
In an interview with Yahoo Sports, Gary Payton said that he's interested in coaching in the NBA. He said, quote, I've had conversations in the past about coaching, but the timing wasn't right. I believe I am now ready to be a coach. A lot of young NBA players are a voice away from reaching their true potential. I would like to join an NBA staff where I can help coach, mentor, and guide players towards the hard work, focus, and determination needed to become a reliable contributor to a team's success. I have knowledge to share, and I'm ready to help.
Gary Payton. Coach Payton, what do you think? Jim, you've had interaction with Gary that very few others have had, that weren't on a court with him, I should say. Does he have the temperament to be a coach? I think he's got the knowledge. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Famer, one of the great players of all time, certainly. But so he's got the knowledge. But often we've talked about great players have a hard time conveying what made them great to another player. Like some it's just instinctual. They just do it, and it's hard for them to teach. Where do you think Gary falls?
I'd take a shot with Gary Payton as a coach. He's probably mellowed a little bit at the age of 52, and I'm sure that players would frustrate him at times. But boy, he could teach defense, couldn't he?
Yeah. I don't you at least bring him on as an assistant?
Yeah, I would give it a shot. I would love to see it. I love Gary now. I mean, we had our differences back when I was covering the team, but he's a good guy, and what a terrific player. I can't remember an athlete I covered that was any tougher than Gary Payton, just showing up every single night. I mean, it was just really impressive.
With a bad back that he had to manage for years.
Just sensational. And he understands, too, what it takes. I read part of that story where his first season was difficult. I mean, he's number two overall, and he came out thinking he was going to set the world on fire, and he didn't. And he worked on his shot and really became a terrific player, a Hall of Famer. And so, yeah, why not? Give him a shot. I also think that if you're a player on Gary Payton's team, every once in a while you could go up to him and say, hey, coach, I don't feel like practicing today. And then Gary probably say, well, no, you're going to practice. Well, no, wait a minute. Remember with George Karl back in the day when you were with the Sonics? You didn't have to practice every day. Oh, that's right.
Look at you immediately thinking of how you can get over on him. How can I get out of something that I can throw something from his past into his face? My new coach. Let me throw this in your face.
You like the idea?
I do.
Yeah.
But he's one of my all-time favorite players, so I'll tell you right now, I'm not objective. I'm just wondering about his temperament because he can be a hothead. I mean, does it work? Is he, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe at this age he's mellowed, but I think he's got a tremendous wealth of knowledge he could share. It's just, all right, is he the guy that can convey that?
I would love it. I miss him. Yeah. I do. I miss him.
It'd be fun to watch him on the sidelines, wouldn't it? Lighting up referees, getting mad. Yeah, I'm for it.
Seeing him getting ejected?
Yeah.
And then just barking all the way out? Yeah, it'd be great.
How about if he were the head coach of the new Seattle franchise when it comes here? How about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm in for that. I'll sign up for that. When the Sonics come back to town, new head coach Gary Payton.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm with you.
All right, coming up, Professor joins us at a little different time today because of the Pete Carroll press conference. So we'll catch up on the latest NFL news with him coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.